Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Amen. All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Well, it's a new year. We continue to celebrate the new year. When I say celebrate, I mean talk about it. People have made new plans. Anybody have new plans for the new year? Maybe you have a plan to attend church more regularly in the new year, a plan to read through the Bible, a plan to pray each day. There are new proposals for the new year. Maybe you want to add something to your house, fix something up at your house, clean your house, any of those things. A new faith for the new year. Today's message is called Fresh Faith. We want to have a new faith for the new year. We want to see things as God sees them. We want to do things that He would have us do. We want to understand the Word of God in a way we never have before. We don't want just a cursory understanding of the Word of God. We don't want just a churchy understanding. You know, you can hear the same message over and over and over and over in many churches. A good message, it's usually a salvation message, but generally there's nobody there to get saved. The people are already saved. What we want to know is, how do we equip the saints? Yes, we want to put out there the salvation message because there are people who do need to know Jesus. But if you are all saved, or if you are all in that place where you already know Him, then what you need to know is, what do you do next? Where do you go next? How do you grow in Him? The apostles were not just saved and Jesus, you know, sent them on. They were with Him for 3 years. And they were with Him to learn from Him and to grow by Him and to be equipped by Him to what? Do the work of the ministry. You are not just called, each of us, not just called to be sitting in a pew or in a seat. We are called to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not just for the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, and the evangelist. The work of the ministry is for every believer. We are to share our faith. We are to pray for the sick. We are to expect miracles. We are to show the love of God. So how do we do that? Well, we're not going to use the leftover or stale faith. Anybody, you're going to have a meal today. Are you going to use anything that's left over from, you know, last year, like some bread from last January, a year ago January? Anybody? I may be the only one who does that. I actually save bread when it's left over. I dry it out and I make breadcrumbs out of it. Why buy breadcrumbs when you make your own breadcrumbs? And so I do. But other than that, my kids are always on my case about expired things. My theory about expired things, and I have a theory. I have a theory, and I'm going to stick to it. And it is that part of the reason that our younger generation are so sick and so allergic to everything is that they have not eaten enough dirt in their childhood. When I say dirt, I mean things that are not as sanitary as a hospital.
Pray for us.
Sanitary. Excuse me, please turn her microphone off during this message. I don't want to have any interruptions. I mean, come on. I live with the Bedouin. I lived on the ground with the Bedouin. Goats would come and go, and we talk about unsanitary. The only time I got sick was when I drank polluted water. And I knew it was polluted when I drank it, but I was still so thirsty, 108 degrees about, and I just drank it. But I knew, anyway, that's another story. I got healed, by the way. But here, the point is this. We want a fresh faith. We don't want a moldy faith. Now, how many of you, let me ask, has anybody ever done this? You get a loaf of bread, and you unwrap it, and you see, you know, one, there's a little, some mold spots on one. So you find a bread that doesn't have any mold spots and eat that. Don't do it. Because the mold actually is unseen. It can be there just as you don't see it. If it's on one, it's on it all. So don't do that. Bread mold can be serious. There was something in the Middle Ages called St. Elmo's Fire. Anybody ever heard of St. Elmo's Fire? St. Elmo's Fire was from wheat that got a rot in the fields, and people would go crazy when they ate it. When they would make bread and food out of it, and it would get into their system, and it was almost like mad cow disease for people. They would go crazy, called St. Elmo's Fire. Anyway, I know you didn't need to know that, and it's not the point. The point is this: we want fresh faith. How many of us are operating on a faith that we received when we were first born again 5, 10, 15, 20, some 30 years ago, and you're still operating on that same level of faith? It is time to get a fresh faith, fresh level of faith. We're going to look at it from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. All right, now as I look around this morning, I don't see anybody in their jammies. Nobody here. Now, I can't say that unless you'd like me to turn the cameras on. I would imagine some of you are in your jammies. And if you want to admit to that, and it's okay because you're at home, go ahead and raise your hand. And Pastor Beth, tell me if anybody raises their hand. We will have a prayer for forgiveness at the end if nobody raises their hand. But if you're still in your jammies, are there any hands going up? No, nobody? All right, well, anyway. Y'all took your, I'm taking it for granted you slept in jammies last night. You took them off, and you put on whatever you're wearing now. You did not come out of the house with your jammies because you weren't going to Walmart. You're coming to church. Diana. Thank you, Diana. I could always count on you. By the way, I was praying for you and Jerry yesterday, so I'm not sure. It wasn't anything, you know, the Lord didn't impress me. He just impressed me to pray for you, so I was praying for you yesterday. You're not going to Walmart, so you're not wearing your jammies. How many of you have seen people in Walmart with your jammies on? With their, not your jammies. I mean, they're wearing their jammies. Sorry. If I ever saw somebody in Walmart wearing my jammies, I'd get upset. But they're wearing theirs. Okay, you're coming to church, so you put on clothes. You put on clothes. Now, how many of you went to your dirty clothes hamper and pulled out something that you intended to wash, but you forgot, but, you know, you put it on for church? Alexei, do not raise your hand. There was not supposed to be any hands on that question. That was what we call a rhetorical question. Yeah, Pastor Mary Beth is going to raise her hand to you in a minute. You put on something fresh, right? You want to feel fresh. It's a new day. It's a Sunday. It's a church day. So you put on something. Now, you took off the old, put on the new. This is the wording here about putting off the old man is changing clothes. That's in the Greek. Jake, right? Oh, thank you. It's in the Greek. I'm not even going to give the word. I'm just saying this is what the word is in the Greek. It is taking off like you take off a garment, like you take off your clothes, which means that once we're born again, it is not an automatic thing that the old man is gone. We got to take the old man off. It is an act of our will to take off the old man. Now, let me tell you what happens if you don't take off the old man. In France, maybe 300 years ago, I don't think it was during the revolution, it was sometime before then, they would, capital punishment, of course, was guillotine, but they had another form of capital punishment in which they would take the dead person's body and strap it to the murderer. And the murderer would die. As the old body decomposed, it would get onto the new body. I mean, the living body. And a horrible way to die. Wouldn't it be a horrible way? And so that's what happens in the spirit. If we don't take off the old man, it corrupts the new. So we have to remove who we were. We have to remove how we thought. We have to remove our failures, our mistakes, our temptations. We remove that. It's an act of our will to take that off. But we don't go out now, praise the Lord, none of you took off your jammies and came without putting anything else on. You all put something else on. So that's what we do. We don't just take that off and expect, hey, we're good. We're new. Yeah, you're new like a newborn baby. No, that's not it, because newborn babies need to be protected. And we are protected by what we put on. He says the old is corrupt according to the natural desires of the flesh. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Make a note of that. We're going to come back. That you put on the new man. Put on. It is, again, an act of our will to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an act of our will to put on the new man, he says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, let's talk a little bit about putting off the old man again. We put off our old expectations. We put off our old way of speaking. We put off our old way of thinking. We put off our old actions. We put off our old weaknesses. We put off our old character. Even our character is renewed and changed. We put off our old way of praying. Many people pray incorrectly. Many people pray the problem. We are to pray the solution. The solution is God's word. Find God's solution in his word and pray that, rather than pray the problem. Because we will never develop faith for the outcome if we're constantly dwelling in the issue. We want to release the issue. He says, cast that on me. And we take upon ourselves his burden, which is God's word. We pray it over and over. So put off all the old things. And how do we put on the new? He says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right, I'm going to digress for a moment to Ephesians 5. It's just one page later if you want to turn with me. Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 5, I'm going to look at verse 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, anytime you're talking to a Jewish audience, the washing of water by the word, you must keep in mind that they were ritually cleansing constantly for all things with water. And they would ritually cleanse if they touched a dead body. They would ritually cleanse if they touched a tomb. They would ritually cleanse for various things outlined in the law. And when they would ritually cleanse, they could then come into the synagogue, come before the presence of God. They could then pray. All those things you could not do if you were ritually unclean. Now, ritually unclean did not mean that you had all kinds of germs and diseases. It was ritual. So ritual cleansing is washing of water, washing the hands, washing the body in a mikveh. You weren't taking a bath with soap. It was a mikveh. It was to ritually cleanse. So let's think about that for a moment, because ritual purity was very, very important in the old covenant. In the new covenant, we are washed by the water of the word. Our ritual purity comes through the word of God, which is Jesus made flesh. We are made ritually clean. We can come to the very throne of grace. We can pray. We can stand and declare the word of God. We can come into church. We can come into the church. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the temple being unclean? There's no presence of God. But because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are ritually cleansed, not just ritually, but completely cleansed by the washing of water of the word. Now, let's just take that to its logical extension. The more word we have, the more pure we become. The more churchy we are doesn't mean anything. The more denominationally churchy doesn't mean anything. But the more word, the more pure. The more word, the more new. How many of you, when you were first born again, you had never read the Bible, you didn't know the word of God, how many of you knew anything that God wanted or did or said? None of us. I didn't know anything. I knew all about Jesus because I was raised in a Catholic school, and we had catechism classes, and we had all of that stuff. So I knew, but I'd never read the Bible for myself, and I didn't know the things that I know now. And by being in the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, I grew in the knowledge of God. I grew to understand who he is, what he's done, and what he wants. Who he is, what he's done, and what he wants. And if we are renewing our mind, then we are renewing from who we are, what we want and what we do, to who we are in him, what he wants us to do. So renewing of the mind, ritual purity by the word of God. It's no longer ritual, it's the real thing. Now what do we cleanse from? Cleanse from the worldly. Cleanse from the worldly. We stop thinking like the world. We stop talking like the world. We stop acting like the world, and we start acting like Jesus. Because why would you be cleansed with ritual cleansing? To prepare for the spiritual. The whole reason ritual cleansing was in the Word of God was to prepare them for the spiritual. So if we are cleansed by the washing of water by the word, it is to prepare us for spiritual things. Prepare us to be spiritual, speak spiritually. What do I mean by that? Well, speaking by faith. We're talking about a fresh faith. I'm working my way up to that. When we walk by faith, when we talk by faith, we are more spiritual than we used to be. Well, what we used to be is we would depend on the outcome according to everybody else's outcome. Oh, you got this? Oh, this is what's going to happen. Oh, you got this? Let me look it up and find out what's going to happen. Oh, this is what's going to happen. No. That's the world. In faith, you look it up in God's word to see what's going to happen. You find out what God has said, what God is doing to see what the outcome is. Because the outcome with God is never what anybody else expects. Even the apostles, they would think they have him figured out and knew Jesus would do something different. He always does new things. It's a new year. We want to get fresh faith and expect fresh things. We don't want to think, it's the same old church, same old word, same old Jesus, same old God, same old Christianity. No, it's not. It's fresh and new. His mercies are new every morning, the word of God says. So we want fresh faith for a fresh year, for a new year. Let's talk about that a little bit. In Psalm 92:10, don't turn. Psalm 92:10 says he'll anoint us with fresh oil. He'll anoint us with fresh oil. Now, I always make the connection to this example that Jesus gave. Jesus told us that new wine cannot be put into old wineskins. You all know that. We all know that example Jesus gave us. And wineskins in the ancient world were either sheep or goats, their skin. The wool, the hair was removed. The skin was sewn up at the feet. Usually the neck was where you'd put the stopper. And you would put in the grape juice. And then you would stop it up. And that skin, being skin, it's supple. Skin expands. I mean, skin expands. If you gain weight, you don't have to add skin. It expands. And so skin expands. And so the gases that come from the fermentation. Thank you. How'd you know I forgot that word? The fermentation? He's in the spirit. The gases that come from the fermentation would expand the skin, and then they would open up the top and let the gases out, and you would have no longer grape juice, but wine. Now, if you had an old, dry skin, and in the Middle East, hot and dry, you know, in the Middle East, from about May till about October, you don't need a weather man. You don't need a weather person. The weather's the same from May to October. Clear, dry, sunny. The temperature may go up and down, but it's clear, dry, sunny. I mean, that's it. You can just give your weather forecast in May and take your vacation until November if you're a weather person. So it's hot, it's dry, and skins dry out. Now, if you put the grape juice into that, when the gases expand it, it bursts because it's dry. Now, the key is this. In the Greek, the word is not new wineskins, it's renewed wineskins. Because they would take olive oil and rub it into the skins, and the skins would become supple again. Not all the time. I mean, after some time, the skin would definitely be cast out. But most of the time, if it was just dried, you could renew it. How many people, especially ladies, or guys too, how many people put any hand cream on in the wintertime? You put cream on your hands? Anybody to renew it? Renew your skin, right? Because your skin becomes what? Dry. Your skin is like a dry wineskin. And so you renewed it. Well, the same thing with a wineskin. And then they could use it. So the Spirit of God is the oil of God. He's the anointing. And we can be renewed by the Spirit of God. Our faith from last year, we shouldn't be functioning in last year's faith. We go from faith to faith. So our faith for this year is new and renewed. How? By the Spirit of God. When we pray, take time praying in the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Spirit renews and restores. It's like putting hand cream on your hands, but in your spirit. And it's renewing it. So your faith is renewed. But that's not all. That gets you supple. That gets you pliable. Then you need the faith. Now, Jesus came and he taught faith. I mean, he was the original. I love when people make fun of faith. The faith message, Jesus is the faith message, okay? He's the original faith message. He taught faith. He walked by faith. He demonstrated faith. He deputized his people in faith. Right? He sent them out. And not just the 12 apostles. He sent 70 out. He said, go out, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the devil. Raise the dead. Not raise the devils. Raise the dead. That's what the world does. They raise the devil. We raise the dead. And he sends them out to do that. And they come back and they say, Lord, they're rejoicing. Even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Now, do you think any one of them tried that before Jesus? No, of course not. He deputized them by faith. Let's look at what he says about faith. And of course, we're going to go to the famous faith scripture in Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at that as far as renewing our faith. Fresh faith. Fresh faith. Mark 11. Turn with me to Mark 11. I don't hear any pages turning. Mark 11. Turn with me to Mark 11. Get in the habit of having a Bible. Bring your Bible to church. Turn in your Bible. Look at it with your eyes. Read it with your mouth. Let's get back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Sounds like somebody's radio program. Back to the Bible. I know. Some of you have Bible on phone. I know. That's okay. Let's get back to the Bible in any way. Okay, verse 23. Verily. Okay, he's saying in truth. He's saying this is the truth. The truth sets us free. Truth sets us free from faith that doesn't work. Faith works. If you have faith, it works. It functions. It operates. Faith is powerful. He says, verily, I say to you, whosoever shall say, that speak out loud, that say, that speak out loud, your faith has a voice. Our faith has a voice. Our faith should be speaking. Our faith speaks. If we don't have faith, we speak the problem. If we don't have faith, we speak the negative outcome. That's called worry. People who don't have faith worry. People who have faith don't worry. Now, everybody's going to have it come to you. It's just a natural thing. That's the old man. Take the old man off. Put on the new man who, when you begin to feel yourself begin to worry, you declare the outcome. You call those things that, like Abraham, calls those things that are as if they are, call those things that are not as if they are. Calling those things, call them out by faith. Say it. Declare the outcome according to God's word. So, verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Okay, it seems to me that the pivotal part there is the heart. That's where, because we can all say things, we can just repeat things, we can say things, right? But it's in the heart where we must believe. So, that's where we need to really get it right, in the heart. How do we do that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I will hide your word in my heart. It's got to be God's word in the heart. We've got to be filling the heart with God's word on a daily basis, not just on Sunday, daily basis. That's why I asked you to meditate through the word of God this year. And I suggested a Psalm 119 because you would be in there for half a year without having to find something else to meditate in. Just taking that word and meditating and thinking, you might say, but what does that have to do with what I'm going on through the day? I'm telling you, God's word, hide it in your heart. Even if the verse does not seem to have anything to do with what you're doing, he will speak to you through it. He'll give you revelation in it. It is just the idea of hiding his word in your heart. When I was healed 16 years ago, it's just about another week or so that I went into the hospital 16 years ago, it was scripture that was already in my heart that God used to bring to me healing. It was already there. I knew the scriptures. It wasn't like, wow, I never heard that before. Where'd that come from? No, I knew the scripture. I had hidden in my heart. So hide God's word. That's the pivotal place, the heart, the spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit also. Jude says, building yourselves up in what? Faith. Building yourselves up in faith. That's why I asked everybody to pray for 30 minutes in the spirit each day this year. Because that is the pivotal place. That's the place that it makes it or breaks it in the heart. And he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Say that with me. But shall believe. Say it again. But shall believe. Believe what? God's word. In spite of what we see. In spite of what we hear. In spite of what we feel. In spite of what it looks like. In spite of everybody else's expectation. Believe God's word. Believe God's word. Believe God's word. It was not the surgeons that saved me. It was God's word that saved me 16 years ago. It was not a church or a religion that saved me. back in Israel. It was God's word that saved me back in Israel, cleansed me when I got born again. It's the word of God that made a difference. I'd been in churches all my life, but it was the word of God that brought me salvation. That those things which you say, believe what? Those things which you say. Believe that those things which you say. Believe that those things which you say. You know, Israel going through the wilderness, they come to the promised land. God says, okay, check it out. Come back. I'm giving you this land. And you know the story. 12 go out. 10 come back. They bellyache. They say all the problems with it, how big the giants are, how strong the cities are, how we can't do it. Caleb and Joshua come back and say, hey, let's go take it now. We're able in God. We're able. We're able. They did not say anything they saw. They did not say anything they felt. They said what God said. The other 10 said exactly what they saw, exactly what they felt. Was it not true? It was true. But God has a higher truth. The higher truth, higher than the natural truth. God's word is above natural word. So what happened to those that believed the truth, the natural truth? The Lord said an interesting thing. According to the words of your mouth, so be it unto you. Do you remember that? He said, you said your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. You're going to die in the wilderness. So be it. According to your words. You are going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day that you were in the promised land. So exactly what they said. Exactly what they said. Has God changed? Has his word changed? Do we need to watch what we say? He says, believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. That's why it is so absolutely essential that with our fresh faith, we are speaking God's word. God's word without compromise. God's word without adding or subtracting. God's word as God spoke it. Whatever issue, problem, circumstance, sickness, symptom, speak the word of God. Speak the outcome of God. Speak what Jesus would say. How would he approach that circumstance? What would he say in that circumstance? So he says, those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. Now, is Jesus lying here? Of course not. He says, we will have whatsoever we say. We will have what's... That's exactly what happened to Israel. They had what they said. Which means... we can determine our outcome this year. We can determine our direction. We can determine our success, our failure, our health by what we say. Now you might say, oh, Pastor Frank, I got these symptoms. I'm not feeling well. It's too late. It's never too late. Amen. Lazarus was dead and Jesus spoke the word to him and he heard it. So it's never too late. But what we need to do is get a fresh anointing of faith. It's going to come through a washing of water of the word. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves for new things. Prepare ourselves. Then he goes on to say, therefore I say unto you whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Now, what is he doing here? He is basing successful prayer on a principle of faith. He didn't give us the prayer first. He gave us the principle first. And what is he telling us? This is how he operates. He says, this is how I walk. This is how I talk. This is who I am. This is what I do. Because he came to both to do and to teach.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.